What was the istiqbal that Allah, who is ghani, Ya ayyuha an-nas, antum al-fuqara'u ila Allah, wallahu huwa al-ghaniyyu al-hamid. O people, all of you are faqir, are beggars before Allah. Wallahu huwa al-ghaniyyu al-hamid. Allah is not in need of you or me or any of us.
Marcus Sahaba Online Radio, serving you wherever you are.
Hey, you know, he listens to every word and gives us a... I love the dua you're making, Harun. Allah bless you and Allah bless you now and forever. You are one of our foremost listeners on Markaz Sahaba, the voice of the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. But joining us this morning is our very own, he's Counselor Ahmad Farak, the man of action. And everyone says, when you got problems, who are you going to call? And people say, Ahmad Farak. Ahmad, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And tell me, how are you doing this fine, beautiful Sunday morning?
Walaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ahlan wa sahlan to all our radio listeners. Alhamdulillah, Shafad. I took a walk outside just now to pick up my paper. And it is slight drizzle, but alhamdulillah, Allah make that is also a rahmat from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And another beautiful day Allah has blessed us with all the panic and all the tension and all the fear factor that is coming around at the moment. So you know what? Allah make it easy for each and every one of us. And in fact, I'm just checking the paper this morning. Phoenix community ready to defend themselves against the threat of violence. So you know, all these things, you know, Allah knows best. We will be protected because we got Iman in us. And once you read your namaz, Allah will also protect you from all the calamities, Shafan.
Now, Ahmad, I tell you, I had this habit of reading the paper when I was a lighty, right? By the Sunday Times, the Sunday Tribune, and it was like an occasion. You start from the morning. I don't know, I used to start from the back because I used to start with the sports section and I'll move up towards that. And, you know, family members and mom will say, I want you to read the paper. The sister will have it. The other brother will say, all be fighting for the paper. What about you, Ahmad? You must be, been reading the papers for many, many years. And in your case, hey, you had a whole soccer team to share the paper with, Ahmad.
Shafad, you know, I learned this from my father from a very small age, maybe about 8, 7 years old. That time, you know, father used to tell, you know, cut this article, put it in this book here and all that. You know, he had his own way of doing things. He had a book. If he saw an article, he'll always tell you to paste it on a book and all that. So, you know, that's how. And then we were, that time, Durban City was the club, you understand. So it was only Durban City, Durban United. Like now you got Manchester United and Liverpool. You know, it was there. So every day we got to pick up, bring the paper, see what Norman Elliott is saying, what is happening on the soccer field and what is happening after a game on Sunday and the points and everything, you know, all that we used to. And that's how we got involved in so many other things because of the paper. And we started to read paper and we picked up a lot of things from the paper, things that you didn't know. And by me reading on a daily basis, so I give all stats, I get all information, and then I'm linked with all government departments. So the stats yesterday we gave and all that. So this is authentic stuff that we pick up, not only from the press and media. But the media, you got some guidance, because media is very, very first on whenever any story comes out, they are running. Like when we're having our court case, Action SA with the Tiguni municipality, you'll find there like what anything between 8 and 10 media houses are ready, waiting there. They're taking interviews. They want to know what is happening. They're inside court and they want to know why this matter was postponed and everything. So, you know, then the judge gave a ruling that they have only got 30 days to file in all the papers and all that. So all these things, you know, you pick up and you learn from all these things. And, you know, some of the affidavits, what is required, all these things, and we go through it. And that's how I became, like, you can say, with the help of Allah, like a jack of all trade in all this political field and reading and drawing affidavits for people, saving their houses, doing this, doing that and all that. So that gives me... What gives me a kick in life is when I can help a human being, whether color, creed, race, religion. He comes to me, and if I can help him and do one paper, and he went there and he got the time, he's got the breathing space to sort his life out. That gives me the kick, Shafat.
Ahmad, what a beautiful history you shared with me. And, you know, so much in common we do have. And as you said, Durban City, Durban United, Norman Elliott, Jimmy Kerr, and then Jim Scott. And, they always have Bobby Chalmers and, you know, Wooten and all these goalkeepers. But there was Alex Munro. When Munro controls things,
I knew that you were coming to that. That's why I left that name out.
It's Munro. And Ahmad, how did you get that nickname? How did it come to you, Ahmad?
Shafat, you know, I had, you know, in those days when we first moved to Swingo Beach, and, you know, Adam, I think you stays right next to the Adam used to
yes,
be.
Yes, quiet. Adam, yes.
Adam, right.
Yeah, Adam was actually the record clerks for
record clerks,
for the association. Yeah, I remember
association, if you remember, right? Now, you know, Adam brings every week, he gets new players. You know, you are allowed to register, so many players for a season, right? And then the registration is closed, right? In every, in all sports, the registration closed. We were the only team. We played 3 o'clock, 1:30, we registered a player, his card is ready and he's playing, you see. So that's what happened. And then I had a small ball patch, and that's how they named me Munro, and that's where the name came. And now, today I got no hair because, you know, I got too many patches on my head. That's how the name came. And I was a good left back for when I was playing football and all. And then I coach football. You know, we won the Clover Cup, and we did a lot of things in sports. In Swingo Beach was like Friday, Saturday, you couldn't get anybody. You know, if you went to a function too, you must know by 3 o'clock, everybody want to be in the ground. They're making sure they will be there at the ground because the main game is there. If it's Reunion Santos or Collins or Ocean City and all. That was, you know, football at that time. Today, our kids, Shafat, they don't, besides the indoor, they can't play. That too is not a good sport because you're damaging your knees and all. They don't want to go and play outdoor sports and all. That is the problem we're facing with Shafat.
You know, Ahmad, what I like to remind our listeners is that, I mean, we found our elders, you know, our Mufti Ibrahim Salaji's father, Mahmud Salaji, and we found all these elders. They used to walk down to the grounds. And, you know, for the main match, as you spoke about Reunion Santos, and they used to all look at them, and you know, our non-Muslim friends, they say, hey, there is all Reunion Santos fans. All the Muslims used to come there. But you used to get, maybe when it was Reunion Santos playing Ocean City or someone, you used to get these referees from the NFL to come and do the refereeing, like George Cox and so forth. Why was that so, Ahmad?
Shafat, you know, at that time, what we did, in fact, myself and the late Hussein teacher, and he was the chairman of the Referees Association, and Nirmal Buddhu was the chairperson, and Hussein was the secretary, and I was one of the official of the Referees Association. Because at that time, we didn't have caliber of referees in Swingo Beach. So what we used to do is we used to bring them. At the same time, what we were doing them, like Hussein used to take the line, I used to take the line, Pete used to take the line, all our guys, we used to give them to run the line. And that's how we learned. And then Nirmal, he was a professional referee, and he was refereeing PSL games and everything at that time. So he's the one then brought these guys to teach us and everything. And then we wrote the exams and everything. And that's how we became referee. Myself and Pete are the only one with Hussein, the late Hussein, we had certificate to referee any Southern Natal games or anything like that, you know. So we were fortunate. We refereed Clover Cup games. We refereed all the high-powered, anything to do with any high-powered game. Swingo was recommended to go to and do that game because they know that we will not take nonsense. We will go and do the job, and we don't fry for whoever it is. And yet we went into locations, we went into the heart of chats when Bluff Rangers came with buses to play Collins, and I refereed the game. And after the game, the trouble started, you know what happened, bush knives and everything came out. But nobody got hurt or anything. That was just a, You know, these things happen in football. So, and I refereed the game, and I remember it was Ramzan as well. So I refereed the game, and the president, Hari Naidu, was the president of the association at that time. He came to me, he said, "Hey, Munro, you refereeing, you taking the game?" I said, "Nirvana has appointed me to referee the game." He said, "Yo, you know what, Munro, you get." I said, "Don't worry." When I took that game and I refereed that game, Shafat, I think that game and Harding Cosmos and Young Tigers was the game. And I refereed Lee Albert and Kelly and all. But these two games were the highlight of my football career that I refereed. In Spingo, one in Spingo and one in Port Jefferson. That is the games that I'll never ever forget. If you take the one in Port Jefferson, if you went to that ground and the match was 3 o'clock by 12:30, 1 o'clock, you couldn't even see the white line. It was stuck on. You couldn't even see. And normally what we do is myself, Hussein was the linesman, Pete Kader, now he's a professor actually. And he ran the other line, and you won't believe it. And I went, we went there. We go early, like 1 o'clock, 3 o'clock game. We go and assess it. We take a walk. Nobody knows who's coming, who's going to be the referee. And they're only saying Southern Natal referee is coming, but they don't know who the referees are and all that. We always made sure that we told them not to give names or anything because we wanted to go and see the atmosphere, what is happening, who's there, who's in the zoo there, troublemakers and all, how to see what is happening. We walk past the whole ground and then we go and go into the change room. And when we change, when they come, when we go there on the field, then before we went, then somebody from the crowd and all the reckoning, "Hey, Lani, you here? I know you're going to go in the center. If you here, you're going to go in the center. Come, Lani, there's something for you. We make it nice for you." They were prepared to give $5,000. I told him, "You know, do me a favor, take your money and you know what? Keep your money. We don't take money here. We came to do the job and we will do the job and go from here." And Shafat, that game, you know, Harding Cosmos are full colored and Young Tigers are from Port Jefferson, black, all blacks, young players. End to end game, Shafat, if you only saw that game, unfortunately. Those times they didn't video the games or you couldn't go back and watch these games. Oh, what a game it was.
Yeah, but you bring up, you know, a lot of our memories. But the reason why we brought it up, you know, on an Islamic platform, I just want to show you that the one point Ahmed made is the briberies came. But here there were people of integrity. And I look at the integrity of Ahmed Tarek. I was doing honesty and doing the right thing. Today his name is, you know, not tarnished, nothing. And, you know, it's also a form of dawah. They say, you know, Muslims are always fair in whatever conditions that it is. But those were the days that the whole community, and there were some brilliant Muslim soccerites, and even Harding Cosmos, I believe they was, and all. But they were all Muslim players, the Dynamos and so forth. But Jazakallah Khair, Ahmed, for sharing such a beautiful memories with us. And just to show, you know, the Ummah that we were there. But Alhamdulillah, we progressed beyond that, and Alhamdulillah, people like our Ahmed Tarek had made an indelible impression. Hassan teacher was also my my form teacher at school. And Alhamdulillah, and he talks about Pete being a professor and so forth. So Allah bless them all. And those that made parza from this dunya, Allah fill the qabr with nur and grant them jannah to fill those. Ahmed, as we move on and we talk about reality, you know, the world is a shadow of a cloud and a dream of a sleep. And he that walks on the surface of this earth, will get into its belly. And, you know, we have lost many people. But when you think about Kafan Dafan, that's another passion of yours, Ahmed. What's the latest in it?
Shafat, you know, besides the bodies that are rotting, especially in Gauteng and the other provinces because of load sharing at the moment, Shafat, we must make dua in this province. And I'm saying, you know what, everyone must pick up their hands and make dua today that Alhamdulillah, Allah has blessed this province. We only get 2 hours load sharing and sometime for the week or maybe in a week we might get 3 times or something. Go to the other province and you'll see, you'll get it 6 to 8 hours sometimes. So we are actually blessed. And furthermore, there's another 400 kilowatts of power is we getting from a neighboring country as well. So we must make shukr for that. They're coming to the bodies are rotting or getting decomposed in fridges, because, you know, fridges only can take so much, and, you know, on and off, and you're getting 5-6 hours. So body have to decompose. What happens is the fridge temperature is to keep the body for many months, sometimes year, till the matter has been resolved or the next of kin has been found. So now, in case that we were fortunate, we cleared up all the unidentified bodies. We did an application. They cleared it up. They gave it to, you know, they do it on a tender system. An undertaker is being assigned, and then they give that job to the undertaker. All the unclaimed bodies, unidentified bodies, they do the. But yet, postmortem has been done in these cases. Postmortem, everything is done. The docket is open, but there's no closure to it because we can't find the next of kin. We can't find the families. The law states, so you got to do the DNA, you got to do everything, have everything ready. But you might find after 2-3 years, somebody might come up and say, you know what, I'm looking for so-and-so. Then we go and get the file out, and with the DNA, you can pick all the information up and give that information, and we tell him where he's been buried as a pauper. That's what we do. So Joburg, Cape Town, all the other provinces, he had got it back. We, fortunate here in KZN, we don't have that issue. Other than that, in terms of burial at the moment, you know, the non-Muslim side, they are battling at the moment because of the cemetery shortages. We, fortunate, Shafaq, yeah, in this province and everywhere in the country, due to our recycling method, and we open anytime between 7 and 10 years, we got enough graves to carry us through and all this. So there's no issues or anything like that, unless you get one hurricane or you get a earthquake or something like that, what happened in Turkey. Then even with all that too, Shafaq, we will be, alhamdulillah, we must make shukr. We got graves just before I left IBC, even one in Craigieburn in Amkomas. I gave them a completely brand spanking new wood fence and everything. Salim contacting fence, Salim Kazi got it fenced up and everything. We only got a few people there. So if you get like in one day 300 or 200, you need space. We got space, alhamdulillah. Allah, shukr, we must make shukr. But we had a foresight. We made sure that we covered ourselves. And you know, in the early days, Shafaq, when I formed Islamic Burial Council in 1998, the brothers and all, you know, the elders came to me. They said, you know what, why are you taking it from the council? They are maintaining it. They are doing this and everything else. They say, you know what, why do you want to take this responsibility? But you know what, after explaining them and the foresight I had, because I knew at that time what triggered this whole thing, Shafaq, listen to this very, very carefully. And our listeners need to listen. Red Hill, we got 1,200 graves, Shafaq. From that 1,200 graves, at that time when 1998 Islamic Burial Council was formed, we only had about 8 or 10 people in Red Hill. And from that time, the council was looking for additional burying space because they knew that eventually they're going to be running out of burying space. When they saw that in our cemetery, Muslim section, there's only very little burial has taken place. So they came to us and they say, you know what, we want to take 50% of this. So in other words, they will take 600, they want to leave us with 600. That is the time I said, no, this can't happen. And then we took it over. And today, Shafaq, that cemetery is 50% full. But if we did not take it and you lost that 50%, they should have went to all our other cemetery, the one in Mirbank, the Chatsworth, Mobeni High, up to Tazana Township, Stellawood, all these Muslim sections, because they know we recycle, they should have taken 50%. Now, what should be our position? But alhamdulillah, you know, Allah sometimes open the doors, make you think that, you know what, I'd rather do it now. But you know what, when I went and spoke to the elders again, they all made parta from the Zuyah. Allah give them Jannah. These are all old, you know, they're pioneers in our province they were. And they had a foresight as well. But, you know, sometimes they didn't think beyond the box, in other words. You know, we had a bigger picture to the whole thing. And I was young, so I came in at the right time. Let's take it. And we took it over. Today we're not regretting. Alhamdulillah, Allah blessed us. We got enough of team cemetery of our own. We don't even have to worry today, Shafat.
Well, in hindsight, when you look back, you made the right decision, Ahmed, and Allah bless you for that. And Alhamdulillah, we embrace you and celebrate you for that. Looking at a message from Muhammad Atombela, he says, Assalamu alaikum. I want to know from Councillor Ahmed Parak, what are the statistics of how many black Muslim rebirths are buried in his Kabristan? Please let us know. Ahmed, how do you respond to Muhammad Atombela?
Shafat, Muhammad Tombela needs that information. He can go to Salim Kazi and this thing or Iqbal Khan. They can give you, we can give you for the last 10 years deaths, Hood Cemetery, if you go to, if they've been buried in Red Hill or Mobeni Heights or Shell Cross or Brook Street, any cemetery, we will know. And he can even want to know some of his family where they are buried. And if he gives the name, they can open the logbook and say, grave number so-and-so, there's the paperwork that was done, there's a burial order, that's when he was buried, so-and-so, his age was that. Everything we got, Alhamdulillah, Shabbat, we got all that information.
Amazing. Let's take a scenario. Someone, passes away in Umlazi or in Bumbulu or Fulweni or in Inanda, and they happen to be, black Muslims. Is a body taken from there and buried in Muslim cemeteries in like Mia Bank or Dayal Road and so forth, Ahmed?
Shafat, as long as he's a Muslim, we will bury him. But, we also got caught, Shafat, we must understand this. And we got caught in the last couple of years, and fortunately we put a stop to it. In Malawi especially, they got ethnic war there. If you are a Muslim and all, they leave you, and if you... There's a lot of people, they're not Muslim, they got a Muslim name and they came and they were working there. Now, they share a room and one of them passed away. Heart of heart, those others know that this fella is not a Muslim. But they will play in such a way, Shafat, that they will say, you can see he's got a Muslim name. But he was not going for namaz or anything. When we did the research and all that, he was not going for namaz because then we found out, then we went to the embassy and we found out from the elders, when some of these elders came and all, then I sat with them and I found out, I said, how come we get so many Muslims here and they cannot afford to send their bodies back and everything, so they want them to be buried here. We don't have a problem with that. Lillah, we give you full 100%, whichever cemetery, we don't. If a person came to us now, Shafat, and he says, our blue chip cemetery is Shell Cross or Brook Street. He wants to be buried in Brook Street and he's a revert, he's a black Muslim, accepted in Islam. We will bury him there. We don't have that issue or anything. The Karaki from Japan, he came here and he passed away, Shafat. The brothers, at that time, I was the chief of Islamic burial. The brothers came, they said, we have got a grave outside our Brook Street cemetery. There's some people bought there on the outside. Now, at that time, up till today, we got nothing to do with those outside cemetery, outside our boundary. It's Brook Street is fence. Whatever graves in the Bas Shapir we got is Islamic burial. Outside, we maintain it, we bury people there. But I made it very, very clear. The reason, the Sharia law is very, very clear in this. You cannot bury... They bought these graves, and that time was cheap, Shafat. They bought it for 3,000 or 2,500, or some paid 5 grand, and they bought this thing. But you got one grave, say grave A, you got Mr. Naidu is buried there. Then you went and bought grave B. And C, you got Chinsami is buried there. In terms of Sharia, you can't buried there. It must be barricaded. You ask any Mufti, will tell you a Muslim cemetery must be barricaded, and that's what it is. So therefore, I was dead against it. I said, I don't want to have anything to do with it because the Sharia law is very, very clear in that it must be barricaded, and that's what we did. Now, coming back to this Japanese guy, he came as an instructor in South Africa and he passed away yet. they were giving him. There's somebody told me, no, I got a grave in the outside because he couldn't use it. He says, I got there. I want to give it to them. I want to give it to them. And it's a big name overseas and all. Shafat, you won't believe it. At that time, I don't know what Allah has put into me. And I brought that. I said, no, don't use that grave. I'm giving you a grave inside the cemetery. Shafat, when these guys came from Japan and everything, and when they came and saw how we bury, and they saw where we gave them the grave in our main cemetery, they were blown. Now, these are all Japanese people and all that. And these are top, and one of the ministers also came, because this fellow was a top instructor in Japan and everything else. When they came and when they saw all the Shafat, they were blown. They said, you know what, the way we do things, Shafat, this is how we give dawah to show the people. Now, if I put him there, now what should have happened? People will say, well, because he's a Japanese, so you put him in the outside, you didn't bring him inside and all that. You know, this is, and Allah made it so easy for me at that time. I said, no, bring it here. I want to make sure I'm going to give him a grave inside. And I had a grave inside to give him. Shafat, if they put Donald Trump, the ex-president of the U.S., and they must throw the keys away for what he has done in the world. So from the 2000 and 2016, what he has brought all the countries to his knees at that time to make sure that he became a president is all surfacing up now. So the long and the short is, there's no way he's going to get out of this one here, because I think they've got more than enough evidence to indict me on this one here, but although he's not been charged yet. So let's see what flares this coming week in terms of that ex-US President Trump's issue. And I think they are going to charge him, and he'll have to serve him, because it will be a due process. Obviously, trial will take place, and it will pull maybe another 2 years or something. This is what happens in legal matters. Then the protest by the own Israelis, that is a very, very good point that Isu brought to our attention this morning. The own Israelis are actually protesting against the president at the moment and the prime minister. So this, and then he's going to the UK trying to look for support and everything. And I think the days are numbered. And in fact, when I hear Mufti Saab's lectures in the morning, he said this is what's going to happen and is coming now. You can see how this whole puzzle is coming, because the Israelis themselves have realized what they are doing is not right, Shafat. And lastly, Indonesia, they need to get self-sufficient, and you cannot depend on the West all the time. And that's where, when you depend too much on the West, and this is where you get caught out, because then they start dictating to you. And Qatar, they brought sanction against Qatar. What Qatar did? Even they sent some planes to New Zealand and everything. They started today. They got farms in Qatar and all that. They're grazing their own sheep, goats, and cattle and everything. So they became self-sufficient. They told them, you know what? Keep whatever you want. We'll be okay. And today they're coming back to them and saying, you know what? We want to do business with you. So, we Muslim countries, we don't need nobody. Long as we got Allah, and if the people are sincere in what they're doing, don't depend on the West. We can sustain ourselves. Allah has blessed us. Take Saudi Arabia, take all the countries in the world, Muslim countries. We don't need anybody. They need us, Shafat. That is the people not realizing that they need us, because, and now they can see in the Middle East, the West is drying up. Now where they're attacking, they're coming here to Africa now. Who want to invest in Zimbabwe? Now they're going to give billions of and trillions of dollars in Zimbabwe to uplift Zimbabwe and all the neighboring countries in Africa. Because one thing they only want the wealth of this country here, especially in South Africa. You got minerals, you got gold, you got silver, you got now we'll be even get our own oil here too. So that's where, when they see any niche market, that's where they come and attack to take our wealth away. And this is what they did. Because now I think in the Middle East, they are realizing that, they're paying for coming and guarding they put their, they come there with the army base everywhere. Now you have to pay them. For what? Like what the Afghans did to the U.S., that's what everybody has to do. Leave, they left everything and they ran. This is what's going to happen in the end, inshallah, Shabbat.
Amar said that, and then the lithium, yeah, that is, Zimbabwe's got a big reserve of lithium, and they, after that, and you know, Afghanistan has the highest amount of lithium, and they're going for these batteries and so forth. Well summed up there, Amar, the full marks for you. And, you know, this interdict in you of the EFF and the interdict that the court, you know, provided was, it instructs the EFF to communicate publicly on by 4 p.m., that should there any violence or shutdown of schools, ports and airports and roads or any other entity be committed, then the EFF will be in contravention of this court order and will face legal consequences, Ahmed. And this interdict, by the way, is a national interdict and is in addition to the one that the DA was granted in the Western Cape. So in other words, you know, we can't call it a shutdown. This is actually a protest march, because I think the media is giving it credence by saying shutdown, shutdown, making Malema look powerful. It is only an ordinary protest march. But the interdict that has been given by the courts really has straitjacketed the EFF, Ahmed. They'll be culpable. They'll be liable for any damages, you know, caused or any losses, loss of lives. They will have to pay for that, Ahmed. What's your thoughts?
Shafat, I read through the judgment that came through to me, because the judgment came immediately when the judgment was given yesterday. You know, with my contacts, I received the judgment, and I went through the judgment very, very carefully yesterday. Firstly, let everyone know, protest, they apply, you have to apply for a protest, which a protest was granted. In terms of the rule, they went to the municipality, various cities, all the metros, they did the application. You can protest, because that gives you the right in terms of our constitution. But what the DA did was, they actually brought an application to say that, you know what, there's no shutdown here. You can't close the schools. You can't close the taxis mustn't run, and the factories mustn't open, the shops mustn't open. All that is, the judge ruled in that favor to say that he cannot do that. And if there is any violence or anything, the EFF and the party will be held responsible for any damages to property, life, and businesses. That's what the judge, the ruling is. In terms of the protest, they can have a peaceful protest. The army is on standby. The SAP is well geared up this time. The metro polices are geared up. So they have actually started from last night. In the beachfront, in the South Beach, they started. Bria Road, they started. So, you know, they have been hired vehicles to collect tires. So, but, you know, one thing I must say, these guys are not clever, Shafak, because whatever they are doing, they're going and taking videos and they're putting it into social media. So we are one, two steps ahead of them. Yesterday, Malema came with another video. He says to all his cronies there, he says, how can you go and show them what we are going to do? We've got everything planned, but you already gave the game up. So now he's coming up with a plan B. So the plan B is, they want to take us unaware, like when you are sleeping, 1 o'clock in the morning. That's when they want to come and make big sing song and noise and everything else. That's what they want to do. So they said, catch them unaware. So that's where, even that too, we you know, in our intelligence, the country, in fact, the Minister of Police was in Beke, the Stella was in Phoenix yesterday, meeting with all the business people, the residents of Phoenix. As you see, a Phoenix community ready to defend themselves against threat of violence. So Phoenix and everywhere, everybody actually is ready, Shafat, because this is not like the one in the 21 looting and all that took place. It's not like that, because that one we were caught unaware. This is, we know about it. We have done our research. The intelligence has done the research. The Minister of Police have did his job, the defense forces, everything is there. So if they're going to put one foot wrong, they want to get arrested, but they are going to make problem. That is for sure. There's no two ways about it. They want to show the people that they are in command. It's not going to happen because end of the day, you know, the whole world is looking at it as well. So, you know, they're not going to let the thing just be swept under the carpet, Chabad.
You know, Ahmed, we hear a lot about a renter crowd and, you know, certain people that don't want to swell up the numbers that they have. They know they are a very small group, but they make it look big. So they start renting, getting people. You know, it seems as if, you know, the EFF does things like this. Because if you watch the protest march, you'll find like only small pockets of people walking. But how many of them are renter crowd? I mean, renting the crowd, giving them the T-shirt, giving them a couple of bucks and maybe a hamper at the end of the day, just to show, you know, that we have strength and power. What's your thoughts on that, Ahmed?
Shafad, I give you a very nice scenario. In 2013, I won the biggest court case in the country, in the Constitutional Court as well. We went to Maritzburg High Court. We took the Bargaining Council, the Department of Trade and Industry, the Department of Labor, and SATU, the union. Now, what they did, the trial was for over 3 days, and they had 22 advocates, Shafad, because each one were bringing 2-3 advocates and coming. So they had to extend the court, extra chairs, tables for all the advocates because they were presenting the case for the various departments in government. And what the SATU does now, SATU is the South African Clothing and Textile Association. They went and brought a bus. They brought the people, they gave them the red T-shirt, you know, SATU T-shirt, you know, the South African Clothing and Textile Union T-shirts and everything. Then, it was lunchtime. So me, I like to, you know, when I eat, I always like to offer and everything. So I met one guy there. I said, hey, wait, you come all the way from Durban? He said, no, we had a bus here. They came to us. I'm the chief. Fortunately, he said, I was the one coordinating everything, and they brought 180 people there. There was over two buses. They brought about 80 people there. I said, then how did they, what do you all do? He said, no, we just got the T-shirt, and we're going to get 100 rand a day. So that couple of hours, they're going to get 100. That's it. So they show support that way, and this is what it, but this guy, you don't write him off because he's got the youth support. You know, youth are radical people. They don't mean because there's so many youth unemployed. No, they say, you know, this might be a scapegoat. Let us go and do something and all that. So this is, you got to be careful of that youth now. And then what they did, also the intelligence already know the entire city, all the hostels, they know where the youth are, universities, colleges and all that. They got people there, put within them to see who's coming, what they're doing, how they're doing, and also I think we more or less jacked up this time, and we know what is happening. So and this guy is Shafad, he's not a stupid guy. You know, people think he's got a big loud mouth and all. Why did he pick 20th of March? 20th of March is a working day, number one. 21st of March is a holiday. So he did it such a way that even if he doesn't get the support on the ground, if he doesn't get anything, then he still can say, I had a full shutdown. But because everyone took it as a long weekend, most of them are gone to the farm, gone to the bird, gone here, there, and all Japan. So how he uses it, it is brilliant what he did was by bringing it on a Monday to say, you know what, all the companies and all are closed. The company didn't close, but they worked last weekend to take the long weekend. You understand what I'm saying? So this is how he jumped the bandwagon to make it to be seen that, you know what, I mean, command here, you saw what I did in South Africa. I brought them to his knees. And this is how he plotted this whole thing, Shafad.
You know, a good point indeed, and a very important point you raised was that he's got the students, you know, the colleges and the universities all, looking up to him. And they look at him as someone that will get things done for the youth and the unemployed. But they say there's an unholy alliance between the ANC and the EFF. How you read into that, Ahmed?
No, there is, you see what happened in the last 1 month. IFP threw all the EFF members out from any coalition government. They took them out, you know. And IFP in KZN are very strong in rural area. You know, you go to Zululand, Pangani, all that way and all that. They are strong. There's no doubt about it because Mangasuthu Buthelezi and Zuma was there and all that. But they have still had a very, very good respect for Buthelezi there. So IFP was very, very strong. So what they did was, IFP had enough with this EFF. They did not come into the party. They said, you know what? We can't work with y'all. We want y'all out. Now, what EFF did now, they went and joined the ANC government now. Anything we've, even in our own council here in Tigwini, whatever we're pushing, any motions or anything coming before the council, everyone, all the smaller parties will join us. DA will join us, all the other parties will join us, the IFP will join us, but the EFF and ANC, they will have majority now because they got the extra seat now. This is what happens now. So they are in bed. The EFF is the offshoot of who, Shafat? Is the ANC. The NFP is the offshoot of who? ANC.
Yeah. You make a point because the ANC Youth League, Buthelezi used to be once upon a time the president of it, and you were part of the ANC and a breakaway group. The IFP came into being, and the IFP, the breakaway group from the IFP is the NFP. You got that right. And a lot of breakaway groups coming through, and someone will tell you, and the breakaway group from DA is Action SA. How would you respond to them then?
Shafat, no. Action SA, Pavan Mashaba was the mayor of Gauteng. He went into the DA and he said, you know what, DA is relatively strong. Let me join them and then make a difference. And which he did a massive difference in Gauteng, in making the municipal stabilize the municipality. But when he saw the workings of the DA, how they were working, and they still got that apartheid ethos in them. So when he saw their working, and they still have that dictatorship from Zenal Hela and all that, so he said, enough is enough. He went, but before, you know, Herman Mashaba, black like me, is his company. He sold it to the Kalas for 50% of his company has been sold to Kalas. So he's a self-made millionaire, right? Before he could form Action SA, he had a community dialogue. He said, let's test the waters first. If I form a party Action SA, whether it will hold water and be able to do what I want to do, make better the living condition of all South Africans, and let's fix South Africa. Our slogan is, let's fix South Africa. So Action SA said, let's first test the water. When he did that, Shafat, in the dialogue alone, 2.4 million people voted for Mashaba. So based on that, that's how Action SA was born. And then we said, okay, fine. And that's how we only contested from all the municipality for the 2021 election. Only Gauteng, the six municipality in Gauteng, only three in KZN, Newcastle, Kwadubuza, and Itigwini. So in all, Shafat, we got about over 130 something seats in the country. And coming to 2024, you know, you ask anyone. In fact, when I was in court about 2 weeks ago, when we were fighting the Rosu case, that matter is postponed. And you know, when I walk out of court, you know, all the white advocates, Indian advocates, lawyers, and all that, when they saw me, because I had my Action SA golf shirt with the Action SA on it and all that, and let's speak South Africa. He said, "Are you Mr. Paro?" He said, "Yes." He said, "Herman Mashaba, we want to vote for you because we know you guys are fighting the right cause." And they saw we were the only party to bring the raw suit and take the municipality on. Shafat, we got so much of ammunition to bring this municipality to its knees, because Mabundla, the deputy mayor, resigned from the Itigwini municipality. So he's given us, and there's a lot of ammunition we have got, and this will be all revealed in court. We got notes of various things, what the municipality has done. So that is what's going to come before the court, and then you will see changes are coming in this country. There's no two ways about it, but there will be coalition government. You cannot, you're not going to get one party or one party like the ANC ruling this whole country. It's not going to happen.
Ahmed, I'm going to call you Dr. Ahmed Parak. Yeah, but not spin doctor now. I'm calling you Dr. Ahmed Parak. Hey, you're a master, Ahmed. You are a master. Looking at a message, Jay says, Assalamu alaikum, Ahmed Parak. Durban's sewer network on the verge of collapse, and the municipality has no money for maintenance. What is going wrong? They're still collecting our rates and taxes, and they're still sending us billings, but they got no money, and the country is literally gone to the sewers. Ahmed, how do you respond to that?
First and foremost, Shafat, the brother who asked this question, very, very valid question, number one. The forms are out already as we speak, telling me to can go to the website, Itigwini Municipality website, and do the objection for all your rates and taxes, number one. Once you put that into play, that will make a big difference in his life and everybody else's life. Everybody object, then we got a leg to stand. That's one. Number two, as far as the raw sewer is concerned, you know, I think we mentioned in this about a month ago. You know, in the old days, in the barracks, Indians used to live there. When it came to cleaning drains, the stormwater, and fixing raw sewer pipes and cleaning those systems up there, Indians used to do it. And they used to put a bucket, and with a sink, they used to go and clean it, flush it with the fire hydrant hose. They used to clean everything. In the last 15 years, this was not done, Shafat. If you take Musgrave alone, I opened on the 23rd of December, and I've got proof of this. Every single manhole in the street is marked there, raw sewer manhole. I picked up those lids, and I had my council jacket, and I was working with those guys, Shafat. Essenwood Road, St. Thomas Road, Musgrave, 141. I can tell you the figure too. We opened those manholes. Everyone is to the brim. Now, how we pick this up, Shafat? Our Musgrave Masjid car parking is in the basement. The guys were parking the cars. They came and told me, hey, Mandro Parak, we're getting some weird smell in the car, in your basement there when we're parking our car. Some bad odor is coming. And then I asked the Muslim and our team there, who are our workers there at the masjid, go and investigate and take some pictures, and then I'm coming down. So I went and had a look at it, and then our basement is below road level. So what was happening, there's a pipe burst somewhere along on the line. It was pushing the raw sewer, and it was coming through to our basement, Shafat. And that's where we picked it up, and then we did it. We did a whole checkup, and we called those guys. In the end, you know what happened, Shafat? Those things are still full. We had to get private people with a honeysuckle to come and clear in St. Thomas so that the raw sewer don't get filled up into our car park and everything else. So we had to do it ourselves. And this is the same thing that Dr. Farooq Musa, the eye optician in his hospital, like virtually came to a standstill. He couldn't do anything because in his own property, the raw sewer was coming, and it was coming into the waiting at the hospital in the foyer as well as in his waiting room. So, you know, he couldn't take it. He lost the revenue there too. And I told him to write up to the municipality as well. So that's where I only say, Shafat, if we have like the storm that we had of 12th of April last year, it will be 1 year in the next couple of weeks. if we have a storm like that, you and I or anyone else will not be able to come out on the street because all your raw shoe, everything goes via your, through the manhole, goes through the normal road. It goes, the pipes are all underneath the road. All that will bubble up and the entire road will be with raw shoe. That's how bad it is at the Shabbat. The brother gave that question. The thing is this, they are working on it. There's no two ways about it. But they know about it because of the media coverage and we went to court. The council is doing its utmost best at the moment. But they're not giving to the right people. Take Tonga. For the water, they spent $80 million on it, Shafar. They went and put Chinese pumps or anything. Last 1 month ago, those pumps gave up. Now we have to send water tankers again there. So this is the problem that we're facing with. They're not getting the right people. You know, if you want a good air conditioner, you'll put a Samsung there, you'll put a Daikin air conditioner, you'll put a good air conditioner that you know for the next 5 years, you got rahat, you got no pressure or anything like that. They go and put things that made in Hong Kong and then, you know, like you're wearing a T-shirt. You know, my you know, when I was working for Peters in Shafat, you know, I had that bucky. I used to come in the ground Peters T-shirt. And if you remember. And my boss was a 76 years old Jew boy, and he had three bypasses 1 year. I said to him, Mr. Simon, you think you'll be able to see the next year? He says, you know what, I'll outlive you. But anyways, when what happened was his house got burned, and he and his wife passed away. And he told me, you see this Chinese T-shirt? And he's 76 years, listen to what he told me. He says, you see this Chinese T-shirt? Is wash and cry. He says, you wash it and then you cry.
Ahmad, brilliant stories coming through. On a lighter note, Anonymous says, yeah, he says, Ahmad Manzoor and Ahmad Farooq must form the Ahmad Alliance Action Party. Well, you know, both you guys are, mashallah, Allah bless you and an asset to Islam. Ahmad Farooq, your parting words this morning?
Shabbat, today I say, you know, to all our brothers and sisters, make dua for tomorrow, everything goes nicely. Make dua, make two rakat nafil namaz that, you know what, Allah Pak save our properties, our children, our vehicles, whatever we got. I will make dua that make it easy for us. You know what, we, alhamdulillah, this province here is blessed. We got everything here. But these are the radicals that you have to be faced with. But inshallah, Allah will make it easy for us.
Inshallah, Ahmad, you have a mashallah beautiful day ahead. I will talk to you soon. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam.
What was the istiqbal that Allahu is ghani? Ya ayyuhan nas, antumul fuqara'u ilallah. Wallahu huwa al-ghaniyul hamid. O people, all of you are faqir, are beggars before Allah. Wallahu huwa al-ghaniyul hamid. Allah is not in need of you or me or any of us.
Marcus Sahaba Online Radio, serving you wherever you are.